Okay, time for open lines. Let's have some fun too. So, have some great stories for us right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Welcome back to the open lines. And by the way, we take your text and tweet questions as well. Tom's got that back in the Los Angeles studio. I'm in the cave in St. Louis through the holidays before I head back in mid-January back to LA. And all is well. I got to tell you a stupid story I did a couple days ago. I didn't talk about it because I didn't have the time during the rest of the shows, but I was putting away some utensils and things in my kitchen, and there was a knife sticking up, not across, not down. Somehow it had dislodged and was sticking up as I opened up the drawer, and I put my hand in there, didn't see it, and it went right through my finger. Blood is spurting all over the place, and I should have gone to the hospital. I did not. I wrapped it, and it's finally sealed itself up. But what a mess. You got to be careful at home. More home disasters occur. People get hurt more at home than almost any place else, so be careful. Anyways, let's go to the phones, and let's start with Mark in San Jose, California, to get us started on open lines. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, George. I hope your finger feels better.
Oh my gosh, I tell you, what a horrible feeling, too, seeing a knife stuck in there.
Oh, boy. Well, anyway, over the years, you've had guys like Jesse Ventura, Richard Gage of 9/11 Truth, Alex Jones, MarkDice.com, and all these interesting callers. And I really, it's a very, your show, I was just talking to some people about it. It's very, very good show, but your call, too bad your guest took off. There's a book, you're talking about Robert Lincoln, and I have, George, I've read this book, no lie, maybe six, seven times, all the way through. It's 695 pages, and it's written by a former priest named Chiniki, Charles Chiniki, and it's called 50 Years in the Church of Rome. I wept all the way through my first reading because I was a Catholic, and I went to Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Redwood City, California.
Yeah.
And anyway, this guy devotes maybe 100 pages to his relationship with Abraham Lincoln, who defended him, when he was a lawyer before he became president. He was getting into some trouble with the bishop because he was passing out New Testaments, which in those days was not okay with the Catholic Church. And anyway, he researched the assassination of Lincoln for 20 something years. And he said, there's no doubt it's like, it's more, in my opinion, assured than that Kennedy was taken out by the CIA, that the Jesuits actually killed Abraham Lincoln. And he studied it like for 20 years. If you get a copy of that book, man, it's one of the few books that I have almost not been able to put down. 50 Years in the Church of Rome by Charles Chiniki. And he gets into it, man. It's, the Jesuits, our governor here, Brown in California, he's a Jesuit. And if you look into it, Loyola started the Jesuits, and it's like an army. It's not, it has nothing to do with the Bible, with true Christianity, but it's a very, very interesting book.
Yeah, they were
And
very, very powerful in the Catholic Church. I guess they still are, aren't they?
oh yeah, I mean, think about it. Jerry Brown, he's the stinking governor here. What does he stand for? He's totally against the United States of America. There's a lot of Catholics that have no idea. A lot of Protestants. I used to go to Covenant Presbyterian here in San Jose, and in our library we had the book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome. And I talked to the people at church, and there was only like maybe 10 people at best that even knew Lincoln was taken out by the Jesuits, but it was in our library, and it's definitely, it's documented, it's factual, and the people that Chiniki talked to, the government officials, all wanted to say, it was in, don't get my name, don't get my name, but everyone that was hung, okay, even the three or four so-called Protestants that were hung that day that helped assassinate Lincoln, they had converted. They were born in the Protestant homes, but they had converted to Roman Catholicism.
Oh, yeah, I'll check that out. That sounds like a pretty riveting story. Big indeed. Let's go next to Richard in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the wild card line. Richard, go ahead.
Hi, George. It's an honor to speak to you.
You too.
I want to make a quick clarification on there's a Santa Claus, Indiana, but no Christmas, Indiana.
There's no Christmas, Indiana. Really? Somebody
no,
said there
Christmas
was.
No, Christmas Lake, and it's next to Santa Claus, Indiana, where they have a theme park. It's famous.
Christmas
that's
Lake.
That's probably what you guys are thinking about.
Pretty close, right? Yeah, no, I had a caller call us and told us it was a Christmas, Indiana.
But the reason I'm calling, and I'm lucky enough to get through, now I've listened for 11 years every night. And a few years ago, you'd mentioned you were building a state-of-the-art studio in Hawaii, yet
yes.
I've never heard any show from there.
It's done. And let me tell you why I haven't gone there yet. I want to go. I want to go in 2018. We've used it one time, one of my weekend folks at the time, a couple years ago. I am so busy during the week now with what producer Tom Danheiser has done. He had this idea that we do live stage shows around the country. And with live events that I get introduced, I need 2 weeks that I'm not doing something in order to do that, because it's a 5-hour flight from LA and I want to be able to spend some time there when I'm there. But
yeah, you have to lay on the beach in the sun when you go there.
Exactly. I don't want to just go and work, but probably this year I think I'll start.
Good deal.
Okay, my
Thank
friend.
You, George.
Be well. Next up, we go to our international line. We're going to Toronto, Canada, where I've been many times with live stage shows. Kyla's with us. Hi, Kyla.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you? And how's the city of Toronto these days?
Oh, good. 5 or 6 or 7 weeks ago, I called you. I was asking you about Himalayan pink salt. I've been using Himalayan pink salt now for about a year. And I've heard of Himalayan pink salt crystal baths. And I researched a little bit more. I had one about a month ago, and it's amazing. It's amazing. My back is so screwed with osteoarthritis and broken vertebrae. My knees are so screwed. And the thing with Himalayan pink salt, they say that it has 84, they say that Himalayan pink salt has all 84 minerals and trace elements.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Body.
Now, you don't ingest a lot of it, though, but that's what you use when you cook and stuff like that.
Yeah, but what I did, what you do, is when you have a Himalayan pink salt bath, it's crystals, and you want the bath temperature at about 37 degrees, same as the human body, and you want the
You put that in the bath? You just dump it right in?
Yeah.
How much?
Yeah, the crystals.
How much, though? A cup's worth or what?
No. I use 2.5 pounds.
2.5 pounds of salt?
Yeah. The reason for that, you want the water to be about the same salt percentage content is a human body type thing.
And how are you feeling since you've been doing this?
Oh, amazing. You lay in that bath, lay in it for 30 minutes. When you get out slowly, don't towel off, don't shower. And I tell you, for the first week, my back and knees were so pain-free.
Really?
I mean, it was incredible.
That's something else. Kyla, thanks for that. We also take texts and tweets. Tom's back in L.A. What do you got, Tommy?
Let's do a text from Martin in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Now that the holidays are officially here, I was wondering if you could tell us what your favorite Christmas Day memory is.
I will, and also hang with me because I want to ask you about these live events that we've got coming up next week.
Okey-doke.
If you would... do I have to say it now? Because I wanted to save it for Christmas night.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to do anything.
What else could I say? Because my favorite Christmas memory was something I wanted to talk about on Christmas night.
How about what did you have for your favorite Christmas dinner?
No. Who remembers that?
Well, obviously you don't.
You know, I don't. Most people eat turkey or ham at Christmas.
Right.
I mean, that's and they flip. I had turkey for Thanksgiving, so I think they're going to have ham for Christmas. My daughter wants to put Christmas on this year. Normally I do, but they wanted to do that. But let me ask you about these two live stage shows, Salt Lake City and Scottsdale, Arizona. Everything's at the coasttocoastam.com. The one in Salt Lake City is coming up in March. That's pretty quick.
That's pretty quick. We found two great venues in both cities, some great people to work with. These are going to be really great shows. They're going to be fun.
Have you found the right bands yet for my songs?
We are working on the bands as we speak.
All right, good. Thanks, Tom.
Okay.
Next up, let's go back to the calls. We've got Howard in Vancouver, Washington, west of the Rockies. Howard.
Hello, George.
Happy holidays to you.
Well, thank you. Good to talk to you again. You were asking at the beginning of the hour there for a spooky story.
Yeah.
Now, I heard one here a couple months ago that I thought this would be a good time to tell you. I ran into an old buddy of mine in a coffee shop not too long ago, and I remembered an incident that he told me about then, about 40 years ago. Back then, he was gillnet fishermen, and there were three of them, and they were operating this old rickety fishing boat. If you can think of the boat that was in the movie Jaws, that's what it looked like.
That kind of thing, okay.
That kind of thing, yeah. And I don't even think they allow that anymore. They've got restrictions against that. But back then, it was they had licensed and everything, and what they used to do is when they'd go out on the Columbia River, and when there was a slack tide, the current of the river would practically come to a stop, and at that point they would stretch their net all the way across the river, and you know, drift downstream and start reeling the thing in.
Yeah.
And now the Columbia River, there's a lot of heavy traffic on that river. There's big freighters coming up and down there all
okay.
the time. So it's pretty dangerous. They didn't have radar or anything. And there was a big fog bank coming in, which it does there. And when it comes in like a solid wall. And they had got to the point where they were reeling their net back in. They were pulling the salmon out of the net and throwing them into the hold. And this fog bank was coming in, and they decided they'd better get out of there, so they were trying to get it in. And he looked over his shoulder, and some motion caught his attention, and he looked over his shoulder, and he saw this huge D-shaped dark form coming out of the fog bank, and he instantly knew there was a big freighter heading straight
up. Coming right at him.
Broadside, yes. And he instantly jumped up into the wheelhouse, slammed the throttle forward. You know, the boat had been idling, and they just shoved it wide open. And they still had about 100 yards of net behind them, so the boat wouldn't even move. It was just barely. And to his horror, as the boat moved, the hull of this freighter was moving with them, you know, like it was aiming right at them. And at that point, he realized there was something wrong. He stepped out of the wheelhouse, took a good look, and he realized what was going on. There was they had a big work light over the stern of the boat where mm-hmm. they were working, and the radio mast was casting its shadow into the fog, and looking like this huge D-shaped form.
So it was his own boat, basically.
It was his own boat casting a shadow. And his buddies there, there were three of them. They never let him live it for weeks. They called him the shadow after that.
Jeez. Well, you know what? Good thing it was just a shadow.
Yes. Yes, it could have been worse.
Too many accidents at sea, Howard. Way too many accidents at sea. Next up, let's go to Hal in Kentucky. Welcome to the program, Hal. Go ahead.
Hey, happy holidays to you.
You too, Hal. Thank you.
Yeah. Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
You did.
I was hoping to get on there when you had your guests on there. This is about Lincoln again. I listen to the YouTube channel a lot. There's a famous doctor preacher on there who was talking about things repeating themselves. I don't know if you've heard this before or not. Lincoln was killed in 1863, shot in the back of the head. Exactly 100 years later, 1963, Kennedy was killed.
Yep, same thing. A lot of similarities there, too, with the names of secretaries and things like that.
Vice President, both vice presidents were named Johnson. Also, they both died. I can't remember the name of the hospital Kennedy died in. I think it started with an F. But Lincoln died in Ford House, I think. And the hospital had an FH, apparently, that Kennedy died in. And then Kennedy also did the civil rights movement, helped with the civil rights movement.
Yep, yep.
Lincoln helped with the slavery movement. I mean,
the similarities are uncanny.
Yeah, and this guy, I don't remember everything he said, but it was on and on and on. And I'm like, it's almost like they were reincarnated with each other. And they both, I think, well, I don't know if Lincoln was Democrat or not, but I think he was, wasn't he?
Lincoln was a Republican.
Oh, he was a Republican. Okay, well, that's, see, I'm not too good on my history there, but that was the only difference, I guess. But they both was all similar. And somehow he said there was some similarity with Booth, who shot Lincoln. And
Oswald, even though I don't think Oswald did it.
Yeah, well, I know. You got to the theories where the shot in front, shot in the back, and all that kind of this.
Yeah.
So, but it still was in the back of the head that that Kennedy was killed, what mainly killed him. You know, he was by a shot in front, too. So, but I just wanted to bring that up because you're talking about, you know, time repeatness. Well, you were talking about the Lincoln there, and I've heard somebody say something about Kennedy, too. And there were so many similarities. I don't know if you know the doctor I'm talking about, the preacher I'm talking about. He's on a YouTube channel. He's a real famous. He's also known for, like, psychic awareness and all.
Probably. If we knew his name, I think we'd probably know, you know, who he was. He might even have been on the show before.
He might have. And he's one of this is the information I came from. You know, this is where I got all my information from. And I didn't know this until I heard it from him. And it was a lot more stuff, too, that was so similar.
Do you watch a lot of YouTube?
Yeah, I do.
We're going to start a YouTube channel for the radio show.
Oh, great.
It's going to start up, you know, officially I'm going to announce it Sunday.
Oh, good. That's good because I'll be watching. Because I watch a lot of the other talk shows, too, Hannity and all them. And I watch whatever I can on the we got the 1240 AM channel here that you come on.
Okay, you'll enjoy it. Hal, thanks. We're going to come back in just a moment. More open lines throughout the night here. So get ready to let your fingers do the walking to make the phone call. And we also have Skype at George 97313. George 97313. And I got to tell you, it has been remarkable that some of the things our staff has been working on going into the next new year in another couple months, 2018. It's hard to believe we will be starting our 16th year. We'll have our little anniversary party on January 1st with so many other incredible things that we will be doing. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, send out notes and information all the time. Email me at george@coasttocoastam.com. I might not be able to get your response back instantly, but we do get to your emails and we do read them. So make sure you send them our way. We get the thousands every day. So we're going to come back in a moment here. We'll do more. And don't forget, the Senate has passed the tax bill. Now they got to get together with the House because the House passed its own version. They got to agree on one. Then they're both going to vote again, and then we'll see what happens. And welcome back to Open Lines here at Coast to Coast. And again, we take your text and tweets as well. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Michael in the state of Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Yes. Hi, George Norrie. How are you?
Good. Good. I hope you are, too.
Good. Great. Real quick, I know the previous guest was talking a lot about Robert Lincoln, Lincoln's son.
Yes.
And this is not what I want to talk about, but real quick, I just wanted to say that I have a letter that my mother inherited from her uncle from Robert Lincoln that was, he wrote a letter to my uncle. I'm sorry, Robert Lincoln. He had wrote a letter to my great-grandfather because my great-grandfather had wrote an article about, you know, his father, Abraham Lincoln, like around 1909 approximately. But, you know, I just thought that was kind of cool. So
yeah, that is cool. That is cool.
So anyway, what I wanted to talk about tonight was basically I wanted to get your take on, please. You know, we've had kind of a topsy-turvy, you know, past couple of years here in this country.
Yes, we have.
And, you know, I know you've had various guests on the show you know, some are, you know, pretty optimistic about the future, some not so much. So I just kind of wanted to get, you know, your take on, you know, kind of where do you see this country going, like, in the near future, please?
Well, in the long run, we're going to be fine. I've always said that, and I think we're going to pull through. In the short term, it could be a bumpy road, and a lot of things could happen. I'm very concerned about the situation with North Korea. I'm very concerned about the situation with Iran. And, you know, if and when these countries start possessing nukes, with the rhetoric that's been spouted, who knows what will happen. You would hope that the smarter heads would prevail and that, you know, everybody would sit back and say, look, we're talking about full-scale annihilation here. If you launch, we launch, everybody goes, we've got to do something. But I just think that the leader of North Korea is whacked out, and he's just not acting like somebody of who he's sane. And you know, the things he has said, and I'm a little disappointed in some of the things that our president has said about North Korea as well. You know, we're talking about an individual and a smaller group of people in North Korea who hate our guts. The entire country does not. And I think they would love to see this guy get out in peace. And that's the approach we should take. But to answer your question, I think things could get out of hand. I mean, I hope not, but you just never know. Let's go to Tom in the Bronx. Welcome to the show. Hi, Tom.
Yes. Hi, George.
Hey.
I'd like to say that when the terrible oil spills took place in New Orleans, I mean, in the ocean waters there, I like in the Caribbean, they decided to use dispersants on the oil, which took the oil down to the bottom of the Gulf. When that happened, the enzymes that would normally eat the oil on top of the water, it was too cold for the enzymes to work on the bottom of the Gulf.
Right.
But when, now to take it to like the Titanic, was being actually, they found it eaten by enzymes that were living on the bottom of the ocean. The metal actually.
Oh yeah, they eat away at all that stuff.
Here's what they should have done. They should have taken. And I wrote Washington D.C. years ago on this when President Obama was there. I had the articles and I put them together for Washington D.C. and I said, if you can get these type of enzymes put into the Gulf, because the oil is on the bottom of the Gulf and it pollutes the area.
Sure. And just have the enzymes eat it away.
Have the enzymes, these type of enzymes that can take the cold water and put them on the bottom of the Gulf to eat that oil on the bottom. That would have been something smart they could have done. You know?
Now, is there an environmental issue with the enzymes? Can they be harmful?
Well, that's what I asked them to look into. I actually did ask them to look into. I don't think they ever did anything about it.
That would be a mess then.
Well, but think of all the oil that's on the bottom of that ocean.
It's going to take a lot of enzymes to eat that up, right?
Well, that's true, but I don't know whether they multiply themselves. Do they do that? I don't know. But it was something I wrote Washington, D.C. to see if...
Did you get a response?
No, I never did really get a response. Well, wait a minute now. I got a form letter.
A form letter that they acknowledged it the minute it hit.
A form letter.
Yeah.
Not even acknowledging what I said, like, you know.
Ah. Well, come up with an idea and send it to your congresspeople or your senators. Maybe they'll carry the torch for you. Texts and tweets. Tom's got something back there.
We have a tweet. Carrie Ann would like to know, if you could choose your own nickname, George, what would it be?
Nighthawk. That was my nickname in St. Louis local show.
Did you choose that?
Yeah, I did. I chose that because I just wanted to have a handle when I was doing that late night radio show. And it stuck. All of a sudden, the people around the station, they were calling me Nighthawk. Nobody ever even called me George.
It's a good one. It makes you think of the night in radio.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
It is. So, you know, I still use it on Coast every once in a while. You know, somebody from St. Louis will call and say, hey, Nighthawk.
Yeah.
They remember that.
I do remember that.
I might as well make. Do you want to make the announcement, or do you want me to about the St. Louis Radio Hall of Fame?
I think you should. It's a really cool thing. You should.
Well.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll start and you finish.
You start because it's more appropriate, I think, if you start.
You were notified a while back that in March you are going to be given a very prestigious award. And
yes.
You can tell us about that award.
I am named to the St. Louis Radio Hall of Fame.
Yes.
There will be a handful of other people at that event in March. I'm very proud of this. My career in radio in St. Louis started in 1996. As you know, I was the news director at the NBC television station here. And they're, mentioned that a little bit too. But we're going to have a full-scale event in March. Those of you in St. Louis, we'll find out exactly when and where for you, and maybe you can come by. That'll be fun.
Now, will there be other people like from the radio industry
There's
getting awards?
21 other people from St. Louis who will be named in various areas of print, television, and radio who will be named to the Hall of Fame.
That's fantastic. That's really great.
But it's a nice honor. It's that your peers recognize you. It's kind of a neat thing.
It'll be a fun night. You should get your mom to go.
You're going to go? Well, maybe. Maybe we can get her out. You know, she's getting up there in age. You coming by?
I think I will.
All right. That'll be cool.
I think I will.
All right. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to George in Detroit. Welcome to the program. Hi, George.
Hi, George. Hi. You didn't know Windsor was a little south of Detroit.
No. I really didn't think of it like that.
Did he mention Christmas, Michigan?
He mentioned Hell, Michigan. I don't think he mentioned.
Christmas,
yeah,
Michigan.
He did. He did. Up in the UP, okay. Right?
Yeah.
He did mention that.
Okay. To reinforce what that guy said about the bobtail not being the name of the Jingle Bell horse. Remember the old Camptown races, doo-dah, doo-dah?
Yeah.
I'm going to bet my money on a bobtail nag.
Right? That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
What a great song that was.
Yeah. I'm sorry you hurt your hand. I hope it heals.
Yeah, it is. It's sealed now.
About a year ago, right at the joint, and it took forever to get that thing to heal, because every time you bend your finger, it would...
Your ligaments are right there, aren't they?
Yeah. Didn't go that deep, but it was bad enough. Anyways, remind me of a joke that you said, because you were talking about, most accidents happen at home. You remember the old joke to that, right?
What's that?
It was like, well, when I heard most accidents happen at home, I moved. And that always reminded me of another one. I think it was a Rickles one about
the
guy. He's so mean, so nasty that he bought a bunch of homing pigeons, and then he sent them on their little mission, and then he moved. So when he came, they
I loved Rickles. He was one of a kind, wasn't he?
Yeah. So anyways, I wanted to... quote a couple Bible verses real quick here. The most known
By the way, you're one of the most knowledgeable guys about the Bible I've ever heard. Did you study it? Have you studied it like all your life? How did you pick up all
this?
Yeah,
all my life. I read the equivalent of the Bible at like 10 years old.
Were you raised religious?
No, not really. My dad was like at best an agnostic to an atheist. My mother was a believer, but we never went to church. Never really read the Bible per se, but we lived with the older couple till I was like six, and he was a Christian man or whatever, and he brought, after we had moved out, he brought this and carried him like a mile. I mean, he was an incredible guy. He was a catcher in the trapeze artist and whatever, and he, at like 70 years old, he carried like this 10-volume set of the Bible for kids, and I read that whole thing when I was 10 in about a month's time, and then from that time on, I always, studied the Bible for, it's been like 50 years, really, diligently. I've got
it sounds like it.
In the original language, I don't speak Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic, but I've got tools that tell you that stuff, that you can see what the original words was,
sure,
and what the context was with him. Anyways, we were talking about God in the Old Testament with that scientist that was saying he has proof that there's a God, and then I said, about the God killing the
right.
He did that, and then about flooding the earth was to preserve the earth, and then he ironically quotes Sam Harris, an atheist who doesn't believe in God at all, especially the God of the Bible. So he must have had that book kind of right there, which I thought was ironic. But I'm going to quote a couple of verses right here from which are the one is the most known, used to be, anyways, from the John 3:16. You know that. So God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life. And the one after it is a beautiful verse, too. It says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So who is that talking about?
That's true. Now, do you take the Bible as 100% accurate?
Well, see, I take it as infallible and inerrant, but that doesn't mean anything that man has touched and has, translated, no matter how
right.
carefully, there's a certain imperfection there. But that's true of anything. But the message and the doctrines of the Bible
are there.
And just showing the it was like the 2%, and it didn't affect anything. When they found they had the Old Testament, the oldest writings they had, like manuscripts, went back to about the year 1000, until they found the Dead Sea Scrolls in 1947. Then that was back around the time of Christ, which was virtually all the Old Testament, and then some other extra biblical writing.
Well, I got to tell you, George, you're one of the most well-read biblical people who've ever called this program. Sometimes more so than some of the biblical scholars who have been guests on the show. And I know sometimes you get upset when somebody comes on the air and, talks about the Bible in a different way, but you are well-read when it comes to that. So thank you for that. Let's go out to the wild card line. Cornelius from Alexandria, Louisiana is with us. Hello there, Corny.
Yes, right there, not all.
You like it when I call you that, don't you?
Yeah, I don't mind it, George. You and Tommy are my friends. Like I tell everybody, I'm the God, Guns, and Gold Man, the Bible Bulletin Means Man. Telling everybody to get ready there, Mr.
When you say that, do you have it written out, or is this just memorized now?
I just came up with that. But I wanted to tell you that, yes, you had on James L. Parris. I got his book, yesterday now, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle. So
right.
I do have his book signed and everything, so I hope he's listening. So I'm going to start reading the book today sometime.
Well, good. He delivered.
But any of your guests, and like I said, y'all deliver. I was telling Tommy, I said, I wish I would go on a 50-state tour, but Tommy told me that'd be too rough on y'all to hit
Jeez,
everything.
Jeez, no, my God, that's too much.
Yeah, that's too much. But anytime y'all have a live remote, y'all need to come see George and Tommy wherever they're at, St. Louis or the other place y'all going to be at next year.
We're going to Salt Lake City. We're going to Scottsdale. I think we're going to Las Vegas. And we might go to Indianapolis. We might have a handful of other places.
Well, George, that's the one thing I wanted to tell you. Because Tommy's been to Mardi Gras. You have got...
That's right, he has. I've never been to Mardi Gras, ever.
Never been to Mardi Gras, but you and Gina and some of the rest of y'all need to come and do a remote from Mardi Gras.
We'd be hitting the delay button every 20 seconds.
Let me tell you one more thing before you let me go.
All right.
That guy you have, because I tell you, every time y'all playing with the old lady, beating that guy down, he's in the middle of
the Oh, yeah, the accident funny thing, yeah.
George, that, every time you play that, I say, oh, Lord, George is playing that. And I got to imagine all the people in the audience are just getting a kick, especially if they've never heard him before. They're getting a kick out of that.
It is funny. You know what's so funny about that, Cornelius? The way the guy laughs.
Yeah. We had a guy. I used to work at the U.S. Bureau of Prisons. We had a guard. And he used to laugh just like that, boy. You couldn't believe it. But
it's infectious when you hear that. It really is. All right. Be well.
You That's, too. Merry Christmas.
You too. You too. I'm sure we'll be hearing from you as we get into the Christmas season as well. Jim in Portland, Oregon. Jim, we got a minute left. You want me to put you on hold, or can you do it?
Oh, I can do it.
All right.
I wanted to say hello, Nighthawk, and I hope you're having a good night. I hope you didn't mind me calling you Nighthawk.
Not at all. Not at all.
A small historical fact it's easy to overlook, although, do you know what the only democracy that fought on the side of the Axis in World War II is? You know it, but it's easy to overlook.
I would say us, but who else?
Finland.
Finland?
Finland. Yeah, they.
We don't hear much about Finland, do we?
Yeah, they also were not occupied. They fought two wars with the Soviet Russians over land. Soviet took their land, and they took it in the first war, and Finland tried to get it back in the second war. And I think a brave little Finland. That I'm not. My ancestors came from Ireland, Austria, and the Netherlands to this country, but I got kind of an admiration for Finland.
You know what? We tend to forget Finland, little tiny Finland, because it's dwarfed by everything else. Anyway, we're going to come back in just a moment. Another hour to go of open lines for you this Friday night into Saturday morning. Anybody have a spooky story they want to share? Jump on board.